Thank you, Pastor. And we do appreciate all of you being here. I'm going to quickly get to it. I've been asked to speak for just a few minutes on reaching the next generation and passionately reaching the next generation. And so I want to direct your attention to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And we'll be very quick, but I do have some thoughts here that I want you to consider. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, the Bible says this in the first verse. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son." Boy, if you could underline that. Thou and thy son and thy son's son. That's the goal right there. We're talking about reaching the next generation, and what does it even mean to reach the next generation? Does it mean that they get saved? Yes. Does it mean that they, you know, we reproduce? It means all that. But what it means is that our faith is so real that we have it, and it's passed on to our sons, and then to our sons' sons. And I think that there's some insight in this passage of how the Lord can help us make that happen. You see, I'm a first-generation Christian. My dad's not a believer, and so it wasn't passed down to me. And so when I received Christ as my Savior at 14 years of age, I was given a faith. And now it's my responsibility as a father, as a youth pastor, to pass that faith along to my children, and then ultimately to my children's children. The Bible says this in verse 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Let's stop right there. There's a great fear that I have as a father, as a youth pastor, that we are going to raise our children all around God. All around God. In a Christian school, coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Transformers, Kids Clubs, or whatever children's program you have, camps, conferences, all around God. But that the Lord will never become their God. And we see it happened, time and time again. One of the things that I appreciate about this chapter is the ownership that you see here in the chapter. If you look at chapter 6, verse number 1, and I'll just fly through it, but you see it says, the judgments which the Lord your God. Chapter 2, thy God. Verse number 4, chapter 1, verse 4, our God. Verse 5, thy God. Verse 10, thy God. On and on it goes. Verse 13, thy God. Verse 15, thy God. Verse 16, your God. Verse 17, your God. Verse 20, our God. Verse 24, our God. Verse 25, our God. I want to guard against raising my children all around God, but he never becomes their God. And so the idea here is, what can we do to see to it that this faith that we have is passionately passed on from us to our children and then to their children? I want to give you a few things, and I'm going to be done in just a couple of minutes. Number one, I think we should love the Lord with all of our heart. Amen. Love the Lord with all of our heart. Look at verse number 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart." Three times Jesus was asked in the New Testament, what is the great commandment? And three times he quoted Deuteronomy chapter number 6. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. He would go on to say, love thy neighbor as thyself. And here's the thing with what Jesus said, your heart, your soul, your mind, these are things that you cannot see. And I think that often we are trying to get people to obey that second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, before they fully realize the first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, here's how to be a good student. Here's how to, you know, be respectful in class. And all of those things are important. But we're trying to get children to do these things on the outside without fully realizing the importance of loving the Lord with all your heart. Look, I'll just put the jelly on the bottom shelf. Parents, preachers, leaders, youth pastors, your people, your children, your teenagers, they should say first and foremost about you, I would want it to be said, they love the Lord. They love the Lord. Not they're a good preacher, not that's a great activity, not it's they love the Lord. If we're going to pass this thing on, we need to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, we need to make much of the Bible. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Amen. He says you're going to teach them diligently unto thy children. He says you're going to talk of them when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way. He said everywhere you go, these words, they're going to be in your heart. They're going to be on your lips. It's not just going to be something that is heard in church or in a class, but everywhere you go, hey, make much of the Bible. I mean, as a father, I want to make much of the Bible. I want it to be in my heart. I want to talk about it to the children. As a youth pastor, yeah, they want to talk about sports. They want to talk about the zombie apocalypse. They want to talk about all sorts of things. But ultimately, we need to talk about the Word of God. Amen. And we need to be comfortable talking about the Word of God. Make much of the Bible. This didn't happen on purpose. It wasn't planned. But it just so happened. It was great in our household. My wife and I were planning a trip, and I'll just take 2 minutes here. We were planning a trip to Disney World. Spent all of our life savings. This is pre-COVID, and so I wasn't saved. No, I'm just kidding. But we were planning a trip to Disney World, and just all the money, all the stuff, and we were going to do it up big, and we were excited about it. The children were younger. They were excited about it. Well, it just so happened that we were waiting for our little bands to come in the mail. You know, they send you those watch type deals to get all your stuff at Disney World. And in that time, I had sent my Bible off to get it rebound. In 2 weeks, I mean, it was bad, but this Bible, I had sent it off to get it rebound, and I didn't have it for 2 weeks. And my Bible and those Disney bands came at the same time in the mail. And I opened up the Bible, had it there, and the kids opened up the Disney stuff, and they were jumping around, oh, we're going to Disney World. And I didn't do it on purpose, and I'm not trying to ultra-spiritualize it, but I had been 2 weeks without my Bible. And so while they were running around the kitchen table like, oh, we're going to Disney World, I just had my Bible down. I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, man, this is great. You know, I got my Bible back. And my wife snapped a picture of that, and she shared it with the children and showed them afterwards, you were excited about Disney World. Dad was excited to get his Bible back. Listen, we need to make much of the Bible. Next, to pass it on from our son to our son's sons. Not only should we love the Lord with all of our heart, not only should we make much of the Bible, but we should be a passionate teacher. Look at verse number 7, thou shalt teach them diligently. Whether it's my children or a youth group, not just what we believe, but why we believe it. Not just expecting, but explaining. Amen. Teach them diligently. Give them the answers. Don't be intimidated by the questions. Every question is not an act of rebellion. Welcome it. Talk about it. Next, and I'm done. If we're going to pass it along, God needs to be real to you. Look what the Bible says in verse number 20 there, chapter 6. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son. We were in Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. Couple of things I like about that. One, he's rehearsing the deliverance of God to his children. Your children, your youth group, they ought to be familiar with their salvation testimony, and it ought to mean something to you, and it ought to come out when you express it. And it's not just, you know, some rote thing, but your salvation ought to be something that they regularly hear. Answered prayer. The Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his household before our eyes. They need to see God. They need to know that you've seen God. And it needs to be real to you. You need to be excited about it, talk about it, passionate about it, to the point teaching about it, to the point where you pass it on to your son and ultimately to their sons. It's a job to reach the next generation for Christ, but it is not something that Jesus can't help us do. He will help us do it, but we need to be passionate about it. Thank you.